Holy shit. Thank you, Denver. That was amazing. Thank you so much. I wish I was home right now. No offense, not personal. That is literally my first thought whenever I walk into any room. I'm like, well, I wish I was home right now. And I think it's your thought too. I think you're like, I hope this is good, but also wrap this shit up so I can go home. I actually think that's the meaning of life. Like, people are always philosophizing. What is the meaning of life? I'll tell you the meaning of life. The meaning of life is, fuck this place, let's go home. Now, luckily for all of us, I think we are 5 years away from never leaving our homes again. And I'm pretty fucking excited about it. There are a lot of indicators if you're paying attention. Like, number one, do you ever really process that you don't have to leave your home to buy anything? I know you're like, I order some things online. No, no, no. You can sit on your couch, pull up your phone, and if you want to, just be like, I want bananas, and I want hammers, and I want an eagle's beak. And then Amazon's like, it's on your fucking doorstep. How about that? Isn't that insane to you? You don't have to leave your home to see people. You should. You don't have to. Just hold up the same device and be like, hi. Bye. And you saw everyone. But the number one indicator that we are not going to leave our homes one day very soon are the number of commercials I see for beds that sit up for you. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you haven't been watching TV. There are endless commercials that air where basically a guy comes out and he's like, doesn't it suck to sit up? Something like that. And I guess the people are like, it does suck. And he goes, well, get this fucking bed. You don't have to sit up no more. They try to advertise that it's for snoring. It's because you're a piece of shit. That's why you got that bed. All you've done is lay down. You've been sleeping for hours. And your first thought when you wake up is, I want to sit up. I want to go from here to I'm a wakey-wakey little turd. How are you going to change the world? That means in 2 years, we're going to be sitting in beds that sit up for us, and we'll just go, food. And then a mechanical arm will come up, and you'll go, and then you'll go, shit, and the bed will open, and you'll go, boom, and you'll shit through the bed, and then you'll be like, I'm tired. I want to rest. Oh, yeah. We'll all be 800 pounds. I can't fucking wait. Now, speaking of weight, I actually lost a decent amount of weight recently. I was, That's right. I was in a weight loss contest with the fattest man on earth. And, yeah, may have seen him. His name is Brent Crystals. And I beat him in this contest because I'm a better person. But that's not what I want to talk about. I lost about 50 pounds. And, you know, yeah, maybe you're out there right now and you're thinking like, hey, man, if you can do that, I can do that. Probably not. I mean, look what I'm doing right now. Can you do this? I don't fucking think so. I'm just an awesome guy. But you know what sucks? When you lose weight on a public platform like I did, you get all these messages. I get so many messages. People are like, you inspired me. And I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to. People ask me, like, will you coach me into weight loss? And I'm like, absolutely not. One guy hit me up like 50 times, please give me a message to get this thing kickstarted. And I was like, I'll give you a message. When you look in the mirror, do you say, I fucking hate you? Then you're not ready. Cry more and eat less. Send. That's my message. You asked me. Now, I'll tell you on a grand scale who's helping nobody lose weight. It's Starbucks. And this is true. They have a national training campaign to try to trick you into ordering food. And this is why. They know you're going to order a beverage, so they try to lead you into food. pull into any Starbucks drive-thru, and now they greet you. They say, welcome to Starbucks. What can we get started for you to eat today? And you're like, wait, what? I just wanted coffee. And they're like, no shit. What else do you want? So then you're like, I don't know, sausage? Like, what do you have? I don't respect that. I like my shame straight up and honest. And nobody does that better than the West Coast burger chain In-N-Out. And if you've never been, in In-N-Out, get your fucking life together and go. And I want you to go simply so you can experience the most shameful and honest question in all of fast food. Because you pull up and you go, I'll have a double-double fries and a Coke. And they go, will you be eating in the car? Yeah, I think so. And they go, I bet you will, you fat fucking pile of garbage. Doesn't that question sting? You're like, am I living in my car? Why am I eating in my car? Because if you say no, they give you a bag and they're like, leave with dignity. But if you say yes, it's an open tray and they go, eat out of that, pig. And then it falls in your lap and they go, pick it up. And you're like, how about, blah, blah. And they go, are you going to jerk off when you get home because you're lonely? And you're like, yes, yes. We're going to give you a free milkshake because you're bumming everybody out. We're fast food workers. You're making us sad. Get the fuck out of here. You can't say retarded anymore. It was just here. Don't you remember? Retarded. It's fun. People get very upset. I don't really support the arguments against it. Like when people are like, you shouldn't say it. And you're like, why? And they're like, what if there's one over there? And you're like, we never said it like that. We were never like, look at that guy. You didn't say it like that. You said it to describe an idea or a situation, you know? Like if your friend was like, I'll pick you up at your house, and then we'll come back to my place, and then later we can go back to your house, and we can get your bag, and then we'll come back over here after that. And you're like, well, that's retarded. Why the fuck would we do that? But now you can't say that. Now you got to be like, that's not smart. Your idea has an extra 21st chromosome, if you ask me. Not the same. You can't say that's gay. Damn. I used to abuse that expression, I'm not going to lie. And never for anything remotely sexual. You know, I just would say it all the time. Like if you were like, I'll have a water, no ice, I'd be like, that's gay, you know? Why do you have so many balloons? That's gay. Shit like that. Can't say it anymore. Now, to be clear, you can say that's gay, but it has to be for something overtly gay. Like it has to be 10 guys standing in a line, each of them has their dick in the ass of the guy in front of them, and they're marching and they're going, I want the cum, give me the cum, I want the cum. And then you can go, that's gay. And even then they're like, take it easy. And you're like, all right, Jesus. You can't say midget? God damn it. I never thought we'd lose that one. Can't say it. People get very upset. I never said it to be cruel. And let's be honest, it was perfectly acceptable for years. The best part about the word midget before it became offensive is that it's specific. You know exactly what someone's talking about when they say it. That's what was great about it. You could be like, oh, I was at the zoo today, and I saw a midget. And you'd be like, oh, did they feed him to the lions? Like, what happened next, you know? But now, I can't say that. Now I got to be like, I saw a little person. And you're like, was it a child? Or I'm like, no, under 4'11 with the hands? Oh, okay. Now you know what I'm saying. So you might be sitting in your seat now going like, well, Tom, what can we still say? What can we say? I'll tell you what you can say. White racial slurs.
All of them.
Let her rip. Cracker, Mick, Kraut, Pollock, Frog, Guinea, Wop, Honky. Have fun. Say them all you want. And if you're not white and you're going, wait, are you saying that I can say those? That's exactly what I'm saying. Nobody cares. Call up your Italian friend tomorrow and be like, hey, you fucking guinea. And he'll go, I don't care. I don't give a shit. It's not a historically disenfranchised group. The best slur of all for me, I think, is honky. I'll tell you why. The word honky is hilarious in and of itself. But for some reason, truly racist white people have latched onto that word. It's like this great indicator to know if someone's racist. If they act like that word is offensive, run, okay? You don't believe me, watch the news. Next time there's some like racial fight in the news, they'll find some hillbilly. Like, what happened? He'll be like, well, he called me a honky. And they're like, and did you pass out from laughing hysterically or what happened next? He's like, no, I stabbed him. And you're like, oh, shit. That's fucking crazy. I'd pay you to call me a honky. I don't care. It's a great word. I saw a racial fight recently, which is terrible, but I watched it. How are you not going to watch? You're going to watch every fight, you know? Fights have that weird quality. Fights are kind of like hand jobs in that, like, you don't really want one, but you're like, well, let's see where it goes, you know? Like, will you give it a kiss? No? All right. Oh, yeah. I had to take a shot. So I'm in Philadelphia, walking through the park in the middle of the day. Beautiful day in Philly, beautiful park. I'm walking through this park, and as I'm walking through it, I see a white guy, and he yells across the park to a black guy. He calls him a nigger. And when you hear that and you're in public, you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. That's your first thought. And then another black guy, I don't know if he lived in the bushes, but he popped out of the bushes. Like, if this is a bush right here, I just saw a black guy go, uh-uh, no. Not in my park, uh-uh. But it's like, no one else saw that guy. Only I was like, oh my God, I see that guy! Like that. And it became my own personal movie. I watched him line up like the honey badger. And he was like, that one? All right. And he sprinted across the park. And he tackled the white guy. So instinctively, I just went, get him! But it took me a second to realize I'm the only other white guy in the park. Yeah, so like 10 black people turned and I went, no! Him. Our him. And they were like, what? And I was like, I'm out. That's what. And then they killed that white guy. And for the record, I don't give a fuck if they did. You know why? There is no such thing as white guy loyalty. Okay? I mean, there is, but those guys are obvious as they hold torches. But the rest of us, are not having that shit. And let me tell you something, man. I'm jealous of interracial loyalty because I see it. You know, if you're white, you see it with other races, Asian, you see it with black people for sure. What I'm talking about, there could be a dangerous situation. Let's say it's a fight and there's a black guy in that fight. And then another black guy that doesn't know him will go, I'm going to involve myself just on account of us being of the same race. At our core, we are brothers. I see that and I'm like, wow. Because when you're white and you're in that situation, you're like, fuck that guy. I don't know. Do whatever you want to him. I don't give a shit. Let you do something like that guy in the park and then look at me like, hey man, are you going to help out? You should know something. You're about to get murdered, okay? I will fucking take pictures as you're beaten and upload them, hashtag honky, hashtag dead honky, fuck you, cracker, I'm out of here. Now, I'll tell you, it is fantastic to be in the People's Republic of Denver. It is a great city, and I absolutely love it here. I think you've probably already taken it for granted, your lax weed laws, and you forget the struggle that we all went through at one time. We're all traumatized by it. I hope you acknowledge that. We are traumatized by our upbringing, okay? If you're over 4 years old, you are traumatized by this nation's laws. And this is what I mean. I bought weed last week. It's the same dude I buy it from all the time. It was in a public place, and I bought it. You know what the first thing I said to him when he gave it to me? I go, I'm going to go put it in my car. And he goes, why? And I just instinctively, I go, because it's weed. And he goes, tape it to your fucking forehead. Who gives a shit? I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. But we as a nation, we have been traumatized by these horrific laws and people being imprisoned for having weed. And it highlights the absurdity of not only it having been illegal and so crazy for so many years, but also highlights how the next generation will not believe our stories about it at all. There's a 0% chance they will understand what we're talking about. It'd be like trying to tell a kid now, like, hey, you know, pigeons used to deliver messages to people. They'd be like, what the fuck are you saying right now? It'll be the same thing. I'm going to sit my son down one day and be like, you know, when I was your age, to get weed, I almost died. And he'll be like, why? Was 7-Eleven on fire or something? They didn't sell it at 7-Eleven. Daddy used to get in cars with strangers. Where are we going? Chill out. All right. Three-hour round trips to buy weed. And if you're like, oh, what kind of weight were you moving? $20 worth of marijuana. That kind of major shit. I bought weed from a dude in a standalone trailer one time. Not a trailer park, a solo trailer, the most terrifying housing situation that exists. Like where other trailer people are like, get the fuck out of here, and they kick them out. I just walk up to that shit, 15. And this dude's like, you trying to get a sack? I was like, oh shit, yeah. He goes, we could go do that. I was like, all right, cool. And he goes, we just need to go get it. I was like, you don't fucking have it? Isn't that your sole responsibility? So I tried to play cool. I was like, all right, let's go get it. He goes, I'll go get it. You stay here and watch my place. And I was like, okay. And he goes, there's a .357 and a shotgun on my bed. Anybody comes in here, blast them. Inside, paralysis. But what I said was, that's what's up. Like, yeah, man. And then he stopped at the door and he goes, but don't shoot my mom. I go, can we get a description before we agree to terms? How about a height and weight on old mom? Not everybody agrees on weed. That's fine. I don't care. Like my parents, you know, we don't agree. They're not cool with weed. I don't care. They're old. I still love them. My dad's a Vietnam vet. You know, some of them are cool with weed. Some of them are not. Some of them don't want to talk about Vietnam. My dad does. Some vets are like, I don't want to talk about it. And my dad's like, what do you want to know? Here's what I wanted to know when I was a kid. It's terrible to ask a stranger this, but it was my own father. And, you know, I'd seen a lot of movies, so I'm like, you're in the war. Did you kill anybody? The first time I asked him that, he goes, no, I didn't. I go, all right, okay. A few years later, I asked him again, did you ever kill anybody? He goes, it wasn't like that. I was a lieutenant. I was in charge of people. It just didn't work like that. I said, okay. And then a few years later, I asked him again. I go, did you ever kill anybody? And he goes, I threw grenades into bunkers. I go, were there people in there? He goes, there were. Yeah. It's little pieces by the time I got in there. And then last year I go, did you ever kill anybody? And he goes, there's no better feeling than killing the enemy. Whoa. I can remember the first time we ever talked about weed because it was Christmas Day. That's why it stood out. I was 12 years old. I think my sister brought it up. She was like, I want to smoke weed. And my dad goes, you want to know what I think of marijuana? And I was genuinely curious. I go, what, Dad? He goes, I was at a party one time, and somebody pulled out a marijuana cigarette, and I said, I'm out of here. And I was like, cool story, nerd. You got any other ones? And he goes, well, yeah, one time I was in Vietnam, and some Viet Cong tried to sell my Marines marijuana. So I found him, and I picked him up by his throat, and I threw him on the ground, and I put my M16 in his face, and I said, if you ever come here again, I'll fucking kill you. And I go, do you have any stories in between those two stories? Jesus, it's Christmas, bro. God damn. 2 years after that, there was a woodpecker fucking up our house. This will all make sense. And woodpeckers can really damage your house. I remember my dad paid a guy $500 to patch up that part of the house. A month later, the woodpecker returned. This time, my dad did not call the guy. He woke me up, his teenage son, on a Saturday morning. Picture you're dead asleep, and my dad whispering in your ear with his potent dad breath. He just whispers in my ear, dead asleep. He goes, I need you to shoot a bird. I just go, I don't do that. And he goes, figure it out. So I said, okay, Lieutenant. And I got an air rifle. I shot the woodpecker. I remember I shot it mid-peck, so it was going like, hum, 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 hum. Landed in front of me, so much bigger up close. Really big, red feathers, distinct features. I was blown away. I bagged it up, I threw it away, and then I went over to my girlfriend's house. I started telling her family about it over lunch. I should mention, at the time, my girlfriend's family ran a wildlife conservation center. So I didn't know my audience, but I heard a few forks drop, and I look up, and her dad goes, oh my God, you killed a long-billed woodpecker. That's an endangered species. And I go, oh. I said, my dad made me do it. And he goes, how does that make you feel, knowing that you did that? And I said, there's no better feeling than killing the enemy. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. Those birds are extinct now. I did that shit. I don't give a fuck. Ah, I'm crazy. So ah, man. Don't you hate everyone? I mean, obviously I'm not talking about you guys, but I've been on this tour for a long time, too long. And, you know, I meet people sometimes after shows, you know, I meet people and it's always a roll of the dice. I've been meeting lunatics. I met a guy after a show recently. I'm shaking people's hands, saying hi. Guy comes up to me and he goes, really? And I go, what? And he goes, where from really? I said, where am I from originally? And he goes, yeah. I said, I was born in Cincinnati, but I moved around a lot. And he goes, And I go, are you a person that's talking to me right now? And he goes, yeah. And then I decipher that what he's saying is, I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana, about 20 miles south of there. There's a bunch of Seguras down there. I thought maybe you're from there too. And I go, oh, fucking no. And then I realized we have this whole population of Cajun people living amongst us like they're one of us, and they're not. Why do they have rights? This guy had the audacity to ask me. He goes, I said, did you just ask me if there's a red box around here? And he goes, I go, I don't fucking work here. Like, I thought he was moments away from being like, I do declare I am a cartoon character and I've come to life. Here's all I'm saying. I support building a wall if it's around the state of Louisiana, because those people are out of their fucking minds. You fucking swamp people, we don't need you. What are we going to miss out on? Where you going to get your shrimp? Oh, what a contribution. No more gator, no more shrimp. Fucking inbreds. So, cracker-ass inbreds, we don't need you. Yeah, tell them. Fucking tell them. They'll see this shit. Fuck you, cracker. So, I probably checked into 400 hotels this year. And when I tell you that this has happened to me more than half a dozen times, I am not exaggerating. Every hotel check-in begins usually the same. It's standard. Hotels, they, you know, the people at the desk, they go, last name. And this just happened to me. Last name? And I go, Segura. And the guy goes, whoa. He's Japanese. And I go, 100%, yeah. And he just goes, oh, we don't get a lot of Japanese people here. That's pretty cool. So I have to stop him and go, hey, man, I'm not Japanese. And he goes, Segura. Segura. Sounds Japanese. I go, that's because you're saying it Japanese. I could be Smith, and if you want to go Smith, it's Japanese. He goes, well, what are you? Which is fucking rude. Can I just say it's never important to ask that question, what are you? It's never important to ask that. It's sometimes important, but not a lot. When is it important? Sushi chef, accountant, 100-meter dash. Outside of that, sometimes it matters. So I tell him, I go, Segura is Spanish. And he goes, that's weird. You look white. And I go, I am white. And he goes, but you're Spanish? And I go, correct. He goes, do you speak Spanish? I said, yes. He goes, so you're Mexican. I go, no. And he goes, I don't know what's going on. I said, what's going on is you failed fucking social studies. And you're not too good at geography either. And then I see his head drop, like he feels bad. I'm like, look, man, you understand there's white people in Mexico. You know that part. And he goes, no, I don't. I said, there's white people there, there's black people there, there's even Asian people there. And if you really want to shit your pants, those Asian people, they speak Spanish too. You don't expect it, but they're like, dim sum, muy rico, si lo quiere probar, si no lo quiere probar, cosa tu madre, nadie te quiere, anda la mierda. They are Asian, and they speak Spanish. Now, as you can tell, I speak beautiful, perfect Spanish, and it is to no credit of my own. My mother is Peruvian, and her English wasn't good. So she spoke to us in Spanish, and that's how I picked up on Spanish. And I get so many different reactions when people find out I speak Spanish. I either get completely incredulous people who are like, holy fucking shit, I can't believe what's coming out of your mouth right now. I think I'm going to piss my pants. And I'm like, I don't speak Aramaic. I speak Spanish. Why is this? They're like, it's not supposed to come out of you, bro. It's not supposed to come out of you. So I either get that reaction, or I get people who are like, oh, you speak Spanish? Yeah, I speak Spanish too. And I'm like, no, you don't. And they're like, no, I took 4 years in high school. And I'm like, yeah, I played football for 4 years in high school, and the Broncos aren't giving me a look this week. So, no, you don't. Your Spanish sucks. With a capital M for mierda. Now, I grew up in a Spanish-speaking household, which means I listen to a lot of Spanish music. I only point that out. I think it's important to point out that when you listen to Spanish music, it influences who you become, like all music would. For me, I used to listen to a lot of this singer named Juan Luis Guerra, a Dominican singer, and he would sing just a lot of love songs, you know, songs with titles like Si Tú Te Vas, which means If You Were to Leave Me. And the lyrics go, Si Tú Te Vas, mi corazón se morirá, which means if you leave me, my heart would die. I'm 10 years old, and I'm like, oh, shit. I don't want that to happen. So I would balance it out. I would listen to a lot of Todd Shaw, and you might know him by his stage name, Too Short. And he would sing songs like Blowjob Betty. And I would go back and forth between these two great songwriters, you know? Mi corazón se morirá. A bust a left nut, right nut in a jaw. Sperm on her cheeks is all dissolved. And that's how I go through life today. Today I'm basically like, hola. Sorry, Mom. Now, by the way, is there any more satisfying feeling than letting an elevator door close on somebody? I did it at the hotel earlier. I got such a warm rush through my body. It felt like the inside of my body hugged the outside of my body, you know? And I was trying to figure out, why does this feel so good? I think it's a taste of power. Like most of us, we have no power in our everyday lives. But if you're alone in an elevator, you are lord of the elevator shaft. You get to decide, like a king with his drawbridge. There's hold open and close. And you can watch people walk up and be like, uh-uh. And you hit that. And then you see it close and you're like, sometimes a second later it opens and you're like, fuck! You get nervous energy, like you're a kid. You're like, I'm in trouble. It's always some lady who's like, you didn't see me? And you're like, I don't even know how this thing works. There's so many buttons. I tried all of them. I was trying to figure out, like, where is power the most equal, you know? I think it's a parking lot. Just hear me out. It doesn't matter what you drive. If you drive something, that parking space is yours. And when you are ready to leave and other people are looking for a place to park, oh, don't you love that moment? Like you're walking back to your car from the mall on a Saturday and you're done shopping and you see people like, ha, 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 where will I park? And then they see me and they're like, hey, are you? I'll be like, I don't know. Maybe. I like to give them false hope. Do you ever do that? Like, I know they're waiting for the brake light. Well, first they have their blinker on, like that's an official, that's like, my blinkers, that's just mine. You're like, okay. Are the U.S. Marshals going to back you up on this shit right now? But they want your brake light to appear because that means you're starting the car. So I'll do this. I'll just hit my brake and release it. And you feel the tension rising. You're like, this is exciting. And then they snap, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And that's when I go, I'm eating In-N-Out. I'm going to have this burger now. It's probably going to take an hour, I don't know. But then as soon as they drive by, I'm like, nah, I'll eat it later. I'm going to go ahead and take off. Yeah. I'm very philosophical, you guys. I feel like life is about timing, you know? Timing. When to pull out. When to stop wiping. When do you ask a professional athlete for his autograph after a home playoff loss? And I think the answer is never. Thankfully, one of my friends doesn't think this way. It is my favorite thing that's happened in my adult life, okay? One of my buddies, he lives in Cincinnati. He is a big Cincinnati Bengals fan, okay? Now, yeah, I know, they're tough. So, he goes to their game, they lose, which isn't weird, And then he decides he's going to wait in the tunnel and ask players for autographs. Now, if you're like me, you might be wondering, wait, are you friends with like an 8-year-old boy or something? No, it's a grown man. So picture me in the tunnel of the stadium like, hi, guys. Keep your head up. Can I have an autograph? And he said they were all like, no. And some of them were like, fuck you. Imagine your heroes being like, fuck you. Oh, my God. And then Adam Pac-Man Jones walked out of the locker room. Now, if you don't follow football and you're like, I don't know who that is, well, how can I best describe him? One time he went to a strip club and a bunch of people got shot. And then that happened 2 more times. What's up? I'll give you a sense of his vibe as bang, bang, ba-bang, bang, bang, ba-bang, bang, 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 bang. He is not approachable. So my honky-ass friend. The biggest honky in America goes, Pac-Man! Will you sign this football? And he said, Pac-Man went, what? Which to me would have been like, oh, so you don't? All right, cool. My friend just decides to make it more clear. He's like, it's a football, and you play it. I just watched you. Will you sign this? And he said, Pac goes, the fuck did you say to me? Which now I'm like, why are you still there? And he's like, I think because I'm actually shitting myself as it happens. But now he knows he's got one shot. Pac walks right up to him like, what'd you say? And my friend, he just goes, look, man, it's a football. It's from my dad, and my dad loves you. And he said, Pac-Man looked at him and he said, tell that motherfucker I appreciate him. That's the end of the story. But don't you love the juxtaposition of angrily being like, you tell that motherfucker, but then don't forget to say thank you. I've been trying to incorporate that expression in my life. I was at an airport bar, and I was getting up, and they called my flight, and the bartender goes, somebody recognized you. They said to send you a drink. I go, tell that motherfucker I appreciate it. He goes, what the hell did you just say to me right now? And I said, fuck his mother. I appreciate her. Tell him that, asshole. So I still haven't found a place for it, but I'm working on it. So I met, like I said, I'm meeting a lot of people. I met a woman after a show recently. They're allowed at my shows. And see, they're here. And she came up to me and she was like, it's a very specific woman, all right? I do feel like I just did a 0.02 second impression. Everybody's like, I know exactly who you're talking about right now. So, because every city has... You know my favorite part of that woman is? If you go, why are you laughing? She'll go, I'm not. Okay. So she comes up to me and she goes, funny show. And I go, thanks. Thanks, motherfucker. I appreciate it. So I go, thank you. And she goes, are you going to go jerk off all over your hotel room now? And I was like, ugh. I said, I'm probably just going to pick a spot. You know, I'm not going to do it. She goes, yeah, I get it. And I was like, God. And she goes, I'm super horny. And I go, okay. She goes, I'm horny the way guys are. And I go, no, you're not. And she goes, yeah. And I said, you're really not. And she goes, yeah, why do you say that? And I said, let me tell you a little story. When I was a freshman in college, I looked like this. I looked 47 years old. It was alarming to other students. They would see me walking through the dorms and they'd be like, are you a fucking administrator here or something? I'd be like, I'm a freshman. I'm 18. And they're like, you're a narc. That's what you are. This is my birth face, man. I'm 41 Jump Street. So with this face came great responsibility. I bought alcohol for our entire dorm. I don't mean three or four, everybody. It wasn't even a challenge. I looked so old that when I walked into liquor stores, they'd be like, hello, sir, how's the stock market today? Shit like that. I bought booze to everybody. Everybody got booze. I did the same thing with pornography. And let me tell you, before you jump at me like, why would you do that? You just watch it in your dorm room online. Well, the story takes place in 1997. And there was a lot of buffering back then. That is the truth. I don't know if you remember the late 90s or if you were even around, but like porn in the late 90s was like, ha ha, hmm. Who am I kidding? I use my right hand, so Now, keep in mind, I'm not buying porn for a couple buddies. It is for an entire building of 18-year-old freshman dudes in college. You can't wrap your head around how massive and specific these orders were. I would go door to door, and guys would hand me cash and their wish list. They'd be like, I want black cocks, asses, and feet. Don't fuck it up. I'm like, all right. Do you know what kind of a psychopath I looked like? Walking through a porn store with a grocery list? Like, Mom said not to forget. So one day, I am buying outrageous amounts of porn. And the owner of the store comes up to me. He goes, you should go to this other store. And I'm like, that is a weird thing to tell your best customer, man. So I go, why? And he just goes, I just think you'll like it. And so I go, okay. I go. He sends me to, I don't know if you've ever been to a cement block building with no sign or address, the kind of building that's like, I don't know, you fucking guess what's in here, like that. Well, I walk in and I see a man wearing overalls and no t-shirt, which I think we all know is the international uniform for the last guy you'll ever see. Now, this guy is behind the counter. He looks up and sees me, and the first words out of his mouth are, piss fetish? And I go, what? No. And he goes, oh, I got a full bladder. Don't want to waste it. And I go, what the fuck? I said, is that what you do around here? And he goes, among other things. And I said, well, then show me around. Like, let me see what else you have. You know? I don't want to be closed-minded. So we go through the store. He shows me movies and toys. He goes, we got a booth. You can put in a quarter. And I go, yeah, I got it. He goes, but this here's our VIP. And you'll notice there's a hole in the wall. And if you're standing in there, someone might stick their finger through that hole. And they'll go, just like this. And if you want to, you stick your prick in that hole and someone will suck it on the other side. And my dumbass goes, is it a guy or a girl? He goes, you see any other cars in that parking lot, Junior? So then I felt a pool of diarrhea forming inside of me and fear shooting down my spine, as I was certain I was going to get kidnapped and raped by Mr. Fuck Dynasty. So I said, I'll just take my movies, thanks. So lady, when you say you're horny the way guys are, I ask you, are you willing to go into an unmarked building and wait behind a wall for a stranger to stick his dick through a hole in that wall and then you polish it off for the love of the game, because that's what savages men are. And she goes, yeah, I'm not that horny. And I go, I know. See, I just feel a responsibility to remind women of what pigs men are. If you're a woman and you're here with a man right now, you should know he is two drinks away from walking into that booth. And honestly, I'm no better. If he had answered my question differently, if I'd been like, hey, is that a guy or a girl? And he went, I don't know. I'd be like, well, I don't fucking know either. So... Wow, she's got a rough chin on her for sure. Hey, where'd you go, man? I don't see anywhere. All right. All right, I lost some of you on that one. That's fine. That's how that goes. So, I know, I see. Some women are like, uh-oh. My man would never do that. Okay, sure. You want to know how big of a pig your man is? He's however big of a pig you give him permission to be. Every man has unlimited pig potential. Just needs a little nudge from you, coach. How about that? Doesn't go both ways. Isn't that fascinating? Like, if you're a guy, you can't be like, I want you to eat it from behind. She'll be like, the fuck did you just say to me right now? But a woman can go, I want you to eat it from behind. And we're like, bah, 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 bah. I'm going to take some home in a doggy bag. Bah, 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 bah. I'm getting older. I know we all are, but I am. I feel like I'm getting old. And I know you guys are looking up. You're like, what? You're perfect. That's on the outside, you know? You know what the biggest kick in the balls is? It's when your vision starts to decline. Especially if you've had perfect vision your entire life. I've never even thought about it. I've had excellent vision. I've had vision that's off the charts. Like if I'm hanging out with friends and there's a sign 10 blocks away, I can see it. And they're like, how do you see that? I'm like, oh, Jesus loves me. I see it. I can see it right now. And now I have like the squint of death, or I look at shit like that. And people are like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking at shit. Don't you ever look at shit? And it's tough to accept. I've been in denial. Do you know where you can't be in denial anymore? The DMV. I went to renew my license. And when you go, you sign and you pay. Very casually, a lady goes, can you read line 3? And I was still arrogant about it. I was like, check this shit out. AXGL7. And she goes, 7? I go, what the fuck is that? I don't think I've ever seen that symbol before in my entire life. And she goes, that's a T. So I went, pretty close. And she goes, yeah, you're right. That's pretty close like that. Los Angeles DMV. So I leave. I'm in a panic. I go straight to my doctor. I go to the same abusive asshole doctor I've been seeing for over a decade. I walk into his office. I go, dude, test my vision. And he goes, you should get a prostate exam. Like, for my eyes? And he goes, you should do it. I go, I'm not even 40. And he goes, try it. I'm like, try it. Like a sorbet, just see if I'm into this flavor. And he's like, yeah. And I go, all right, you're my doctor, so okay. So I'm naked. I'm in the fetal position. He lubes up. It is a ton of lube. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, that's why I've never had success with this before. And he goes, you're going to feel a little bit of pressure, and that is my cock. It's my finger, like that. It's moderately funny, but if someone's finger is going in your ass as they say that, you're laughing. I promise you, you're laughing. Just out of appreciation, you know, you're like, you said cock. That's crazy. And then he checks, rather aggressively, I would add. And he goes, you feel all right? And I go, okay. And he goes, hey, if you want a second opinion, I could put another finger in there. So I go, ha, 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 get it out. And he goes, well, stop laughing. Every time you laugh, you're clamping on me. I can't get my finger out until you stop laughing. And I go, get it the fuck out now. And then I sit up. I go, did you just give me a prostate exam so you could run those two lame-ass jokes by me? And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, it was really funny, actually. Then he tested my vision. He washed his hands. He tested my vision. And he goes, you're right. You have latent farsightedness. I go, what does that mean? This is his quote. Your vision's always sucked. You just didn't know it. I go, do you care to explain more? And he goes, think of it like this. Your eyes have been fighting to make you think you can see well, and now they're tired. That's why you're here. I go, dude, that's like me saying I'm young, my skin got tired, now I'm old. And he goes, that's an interesting way of putting it. And I go, no, it isn't. I'm just old and blind. And he goes, don't forget you're balding. And I go, I know. I used to have hair, but they got tired and then they fell out. And he goes, now you're getting it. And I'm like, dude, how do you get paid to do this? And I get why you laugh at my physical flaws. Physical flaws are funny. They just are. Disabilities are not. But some are. Most aren't. We know those ones, you know? Like if there's a 10K or a quilt, it's pretty bad. But the rest are up for debate. And if you're sitting here and you're like, well, when is it ever funny? Well, luckily for you, I have three examples. First, foreign accent syndrome. Some of you know about it. Some of you don't. It's real. You can look it up on your way out of here. Some people experience head trauma. Not funny. But they wake up speaking their native language with a foreign accent. Very funny. I defy you to watch interviews with these people and not piss yourself laughing. Do you understand? Like a farmer in Alabama who's normally like, bup, 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 bup. That guy hits his head and is now like, eh, the tractor trailer, it's fell. I got mad. That's not funny to you, you piece of shit? Really? The best case ever of foreign accent syndrome happened in the UK. Well, not only was it a British woman who lived her entire life in the UK, she'd never left the town she was born in for 33 years. She was in an accident, and she woke up speaking English, but with a Chinese foreign accent. Did you hear what I just fucking said? Do you now believe in God and his awesome sense of humor? A British lady who her whole life was like, hello, it's a bit of a whiffle, isn't it? Like that. Now says, I have not had my conversation for over 3 years now. First of all, do you know how hard it is to do that impression without squinting? Secondly, if you're getting uncomfortable, like, whoa, he's mocking an Asian accent? No, she's white. This is fine. A white British lady just happens to say, will you like a cup of tea? Taste good? You want milk? You want biscuit? Oh, good. You want me to suck the dick now? I don't know, whatever. She's a nice British lady. She can say whatever she wants. Now, if you're sitting in your seat right now and you're like, I don't think it's funny. Well, don't get your tits in a tussle. I got two more for you. So, what about persistent genital arousal disorder? That is a fancy way of saying never not coming. These are people that have orgasms every 90 seconds, and they can't have jobs. Why can't they have jobs, Tom? Because they're coming all the time. It's not appropriate for you to be like, can I try on this shirt? And the guy's like, ugh. Fuck your shirt. I'm going to wear my old shit. I'm not wearing your fucking shirt. Can you imagine? You're like, oh, we're out of orange juice? Or, ugh. Just bring water. That's too much sugar. I don't want any more of that. Some people suffer from both of those afflictions. You know that? It's rare, but it happens. Can you imagine that? That like you just walk up to someone, you're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear about your dad passing away. And he's like, that feels good. I made that one up. That's not true. But that was cheap, but that was fun. Now, if you're still not on board with this, how about an old, reliable one? You know, how about Tourette's syndrome? Yeah. Maybe you've heard of that. If you haven't, let me tell you. When I was in fifth grade, my parents sent me to a new school on a Wednesday. I'll never forget. It was a Catholic school, and on Wednesdays, they had Mass. So picture, you're a new student at a new school, you don't know anybody, and the first thing you're doing is you're going to church. So I walk in, and the priest starts the service. He goes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the kid in the row in front of me goes, fuck your cunt. And I'm like, oh, uh-uh. Nobody did anything. No one batted an eye. He just goes, Holy Spirit, starts reading from the Bible. This kid goes, lick my balls. Fuck you. I am laughing so goddamn hard. But I know I'm not supposed to laugh. It sounds like I'm having a stroke. I'm 10. I'm like, I have tears running down my face. And finally I'm able to get out. How come nobody else is laughing? And the kid next to me goes, he's got Tourette's. It gets old. 3 years. I was at that school. That shit never got old. That was the greatest gift God ever bestowed upon me. And I'll tell you this, the greatest day of my life, up until the day my son was born, was the day we had a substitute teacher that year, and they didn't warn her about him. Your imagination is serving you correctly. It was glorious. I watched a 10-year-old boy break a grown woman's spirit. These poor substitutes, they don't know what's going on in your class, you know? She walked in. Somehow, they didn't tell her, and she's like, read chapter 3. And then his tics would build, meaning they would start small. So he would sit in class and be like, hut. So she goes, what's going on? And we're like, she doesn't know. And then he would do this every day. He would take markers and paint his own shirt. Again, every day he did it, but she doesn't know about it. So she sees it. She's like, what are you doing? He goes, what do you think, bitch? Then he starts painting his face with the marker, and she goes, stop that. And he goes, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. Fuck you. And she's like, what's happening? What's happening? And we go, that's Kevin. Why are you crying so much right now? Like that. Well, she killed herself. She's dead. So she's out of teaching, but she's fine. So I know. Some of you guys are like, Jesus, he's a real jerk. I'm not that bad. I'm not. I'm a new dad. How about that? Yeah. It's the best. It's awesome. Guys always hit me up. I don't know why they trust me, but they're like, should I do it? And I'm like, yeah, of course you should do it. It's the best. It's awesome. They're amazing. And also, being a dad is easy, man. Super easy. It's way easier than being a mom. Here's all you got to do if you want to be a great dad. Seriously. Don't abandon your kid. That's it. That's all you got to do. Now, I do believe being a mother is inherently harder, especially at the beginning. And that's why I don't like when I hear men complain about it. I have friends like, ah, my kid cries a lot. And I'm like, yeah, because you're his dad. That's why he cries a lot. If I saw your face first thing in the morning, I'd bawl my fucking eyes out too. So, what do you mean he cries? He can't talk, you dumb shit. Yeah, means something. Figure it the fuck out. That's why they make them so cute. Did you know that? It's so you don't strangle them. My son is so fucking cute. He's not Asian baby cute, but he's right below that, you know? Asian babies are cuter than bunnies and puppies combined. I would throw away 20 white babies to have an Asian baby. But thankfully, the exchange rate is better than that. So, 5? I don't know. Can we please stop collectively as a society, stop pushing the myth that having a baby is a selfless act? I hear people say that shit all the time. That's the most selfless thing that you'll ever do. No, it's not. It's not selfless. It's selfish. Necessary, but selfish. Why? You fall in love with a miniature version of you. What's more selfish than that? You're like, this is awesome. He looks just fucking like me. I've never loved anything more in my entire life. My favorite parts of you are the parts that look like me. Some parts look like you. Those parts are all right, but the parts that look like me are amazing. I would do anything for you, mostly because I feel like I'm doing it for myself. You're the best, new, fresh me. That's what you're doing when you have a kid. You're populating the world with more of you. You're saying, I'm fantastic. Here's another one of me. Do we really need that many more of you? You know? I mean, do we? I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. had 4. I get it. He should have had 10. But you? All excited about crab legs are on sale at Costco on Sunday, y'all. I think we're all good on you. I think maybe you should stop. Now, I'll be real with you. If you're wondering about it, about parenthood, you're going to have no more time. It's okay, because you'll still have moments. Time and moments are different. What's time? Time is like, let's say tomorrow, you sleep until noon, and then you eat food in bed, and then you go, fuck today, and you go back to sleep. You got a lot of time on your hands. Moments are like, you take a sip of something, you're like, that's good, that moment is now over. See? You live in moments. Masturbating is important, you know? You appreciate it more when you're a parent. I look forward to masturbating more than I look forward to sex. You know why? Because I know I'm going to treat me right. That's right. Yeah. I love it, man. I clear the bed. The dogs can watch, but nobody else, you know? And I'm at the point now where I taunt myself. Any of you do that? I'll lay in bed and I'll be like, oh, who's been a good boy, you know? Who's been good? Who's been bad? And then I grab my balls from behind. I'm like, who the fuck was that? You brought somebody? I didn't bring anybody, but I keep it exciting. I'm telling you the truth. Cool shoes, Tom. Where'd you get them? All right, I'll tell you. So I was doing shows up in Portland, Oregon, and did a few shows, big show like this. Group came up to me afterwards and they go, we noticed you have Nikes on. Do you like them? And I go, yeah. And they go, do you want to come to Nike headquarters tomorrow? And I said, not really, no. I like your shoes. I don't want to see your office, man. And he goes, well, you can shop at the employee store. So I go, what's that? He said, it's a warehouse. It has every product imaginable, and you would get 50% off. And I go, how about I rent a U-Haul and I empty your fucking store tomorrow? He goes, have at it. I get excited. Next morning he calls me. He goes, I wanted to tell you, you can come to Nike, but you're not allowed to shop in our store. And I go, why? And he goes, we put your name in our system, and it was flagged. And I'm like, flagged by Nike for not doing sit-ups? Wait, what the fuck is that all about? He goes, no, you're a person of influence. And I go, excuse me? He goes, you're an entertainer. We call that a person of influence. You're not allowed to shop in the store. I go, that's fucked up. And he goes, you can try to go through the entertainment division. And I go, what's that? And he goes, that's free stuff. And I go, all right. So I get that number, and I call, and this guy answers, and he goes, Nike Entertainment. And I go, hey, Tom Segura. And he goes, okay. And I go, I'm a person of influence. And he goes, okay. And I go, I'm calling about my free shit. And he goes, all right. And I go, so how you want to do it? And he goes, we'll regroup and we'll get back to you. And I go, okay. And they never called, so I bought these Adidas for $130. So fuck you, Nike. Let's see if you even survive without my purchases now. You wonder how crazy that company is? I told that story in New York City at a show. And the next day, a Nike executive got my cell phone number and called me and goes, oh, I was at your show last night, and I think it's very rude that you're telling that story. And I go, I think it's rude that you didn't give me free shit. And he goes, I think you should stop telling that story. And I go, fuck you. Get out of here, man. And he goes, fuck you. And I go, why don't you change my diaper? And he goes, what? I said, you heard me, bitch. It was at that moment I realized we have this amazing insult at our fingertips that we're just not utilizing enough. Why isn't change my diaper part of the lexicon? It should be the ultimate insult. It should be like, fuck you, why don't you fuck your mother, why don't you change my diaper, game over. I'm serious. Rappers should wear them in videos and be like, change my diaper, bitch. The president of another country should tell ours, change my diaper, orange man. And listen, if you're a parent, you know exactly why that insult is so appealing. If you're not, let me key you in on a little secret. There's a reason your asshole is the only part of your body you can't physically see. It's a fucking horror show, okay? When you have a little one, you have a front row seat for years. And my son shits with his eyes closed. I don't know how often you do that. I'm guessing it's twice a year. Maybe the day you get back from Cancun and when you tell the lady in the Thai restaurant, yeah, I can handle my spice. My son, every single shit, he's like, and when he's done, he makes eye contact and you're like, whoa. And he pushes out the last bit as he stares through you. He's like, ugh. And you're like, ugh, you nasty as hell. It's gross. And just once, it would be nice if as I'm cleaning my son's shit-filled asshole, if he would look up at me and be like, hey, motherfucker, I appreciate it. And I'd be like, yeah, and I appreciate you. Thanks, Denver. You're so much fun. Have a great night. Appreciate you very much. Thank you so much. You're the best.